It's on your dick. It's on your dick.
Mike's on my dick.
It's on your dick.
Mike's on my dick.
I don't make me sink this.
Sink
you guys.
It. You sink it.
Hey, hey there, everybody. No rhythm. No rhythm.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
No, wrong. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs podcast. It's the only podcast on the internet that's all about the movies, hosted by the three leaders of Antifa. It's a real organization with a real structure, and yeah, we are the leaders.
It's not just an ideology.
No.
It's not just about showing up.
It's a national gang that we run.
Must be stopped. Both sides.
I'm your host, Steve Skelton. I'm here with fellow film pigs Todd Robert Anderson.
That would be me.
And Stephen Folk.
I'm here.
And guys, why don't we just jump right into it like we normally do with a little bit of hard-hitting movie news. That's right, it's time for movie news. Only the hardest-hitting, latest and greatest news gathered by our crack news teams that are scattered around the globe reporting back.
They smoke crack.
Yeah, they are all on crack, and they will not respond to us. Todd, what's your news?
Well, mine is I'm very excited for Steve Falk on this one.
Ooh.
Because it's sort of like a belated happy ending to the last episode we did.
Oh, yeah?
Because the number one movie at the box office this past weekend, the R-rated studio comedy, Good Boys.
The Good Boys.
R-rated comedy. Did you see it?
No, I'm seeing it this weekend. Acquaintance of mine, Lee Eisenberg, was the other director not credited. They only let them credit one director. Gene Stupinski and Lee Eisenberg are partners. Okay. They had to go through a whole tribunal and like be like, why? The DGA is like, Duffer Brothers, sure, you're actual brothers.
Yeah.
These guys, you, Coen Brothers, you're brothers. Oh, these guys, no, you don't get to have co-directorship.
Only if you're brothers.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah,
or sisters.
$20 million.
Yeah.
Or sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unseated Hobbs and
Shaw. Whoever wishes to the director be must answer me these riddles.
Yeah,
three.
Exactly.
Riddle the first.
Did you guys see Hobbs and Shaw?
I did not see Hobbs and Shaw.
Did you?
Hobbs and Jobs?
Hobbs and Jobs?
No, I saw Skyscraper, though. I just watched that.
Oh, did you like Skyscraper?
No.
No, it's not good.
It's not good at all.
It's like let's take the Die Hard model, but have Bruce Willis outside of the tower.
For most of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, real bad.
And then just have him leap off a crane.
Did you see Good Boys?
No. Oh. I spent my box office money this weekend supporting 47 Meters Down Uncaged.
And how was that?
I loved it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's about blind great whites in a cave. Chasing chasing after 20-something ladies in bikinis.
Nice.
Perfect.
It's like they read your mind.
And then I was in and out of there in 85 minutes, too. It's the perfect old man movie.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for that news, Todd. Steve Falk, what do you have for us?
News to me. Jada Pinkett Smith tried to convince her husband, Will Smith, not to turn down The Matrix. This is in light of today's news that one of the sisters is doing The Matrix 4.
With two characters who died in the very last Matrix movie. Both.
I never saw it.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. After the second one, I went, well, I'm done.
Yeah.
But
they're video games, so they can be back alive.
I mean, yeah,
yeah, exactly. But
you don't have to.
I didn't know. I guess he was famously offered Neo, and I didn't know. But it makes me really sad that we never got a Matrix rap. Like a la Wild
classic,
Wild West or Men in Black.
It's not too late.
Bullet time.
Oh, you know it would have been called Bullet Time.
It would have been called Bullet Time.
Totally. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, or Red Pill, Blue Pill, something like that.
Red Will, Blue Will.
Oh, what? Choose the Red Will.
God, no, I do want it. I wish he could still do it.
I feel like this is going to cut into his John Wick movie making schedule, so I'm not for
you're not a fan.
Yes, if it delays John Wick, I'll be upset.
Yeah,
well,
otherwise.
Who knows if there's a script? They may have to do that, and he can whip another John Wick together.
Yeah, I think Wick 4 is probably already
Wick's scripts can't be more than like 25 pages.
He should just do nothing but John Wick.
I agree.
Until he can't move anymore,
and then we replace him with a CG
Then he can do bone
hologram.
He can do bone collectors. Take over for the bone collector.
Well, I got one piece of news that popped up just before I set on my way here was that Sony and Marvel have split on their Spider-Man partnership. Oh. So Sony's taken the rights back.
After 4.5 years.
Yeah, because they obviously think they can make a Spider-Man movie, a live-action one, as good as the Marvel ones.
I don't think so.
I think they're riding a little too high on the success of Venom. And the animated one. And, you know, if they give the animated creative team the live-action Spider-Man movie, then it has a chance.
Maybe.
But I think the backlash, since he's going to be, in order to be Sony, he's going to have to be pulled out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
So Disney's just going to go, no. No, we'll just write him out of the cinematic universe. We got plenty of characters.
Well, but
we'll be fine.
But do you really think that Spider-Man was central to those movies?
They were setting him up kind of as a central element of the next phase.
Yeah.
When you get to the end of the big Avengers movies and the Spider-Man sequel.
I mean, my alternate read on it is that Feig was pushing his muscle around. He wanted 50%.
Oh, no, they wanted more money.
As opposed to 5% of the gross receipts.
Oh, absolutely.
And Sony has nothing. So they needed to hold on to at least partial, you know, dominance over their franchise.
Will they use that same actor?
Well, that's going to be... It's a weird situation. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Will they go back to Andrew Garfield?
And then when that fails, they'll go back to Tobey Maguire, and then they'll go back to that guy from the 70s TV movies.
What about the guy from the Electric Company?
Oh yeah, the Electric Company Spider-Man. It's a mess because those rights are a mess. They've been a mess since the 90s. So it's going to be interesting.
It's really a tangled web.
It is a tangled web. And on that note, we'll stop talking about that.
Didn't Mark Webb direct some of those Andrew Garfield movies?
Yeah. I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
That's so stupid.
It's a little too on the nose.
You know what's weird is in that shark movie that I saw, Sylvester Stallone's daughter's in it.
Okay.
And then there's another actor in the movie whose last name is Rambo. Weird.
Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
that is weird.
It's like a black fly in your Chardonnay.
But I spent about 20 minutes of Insomniac time the other day thinking about the Alanis Morissette song Ironic, which made me so mad because this is a thought I should have been having 20 years ago.
Yeah, and been done with.
Like, yes, famously it's not ironic. There's no irony in that song. And yeah, it's ironic that I was being kept up by its lack of irony 20 years later.
And comes full circle. Cool. Now there is irony involved in the song.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so she was just ahead of her time.
Yeah. She was.
Yeah. You had to catch up.
So we got our main discussion, our theme this episode is, and we've talked about the rise of the franchise at the box office before, but I want to talk specifically about a kind of movie that fits under that umbrella, but it's always much more difficult to get right than adapting a novel or a comic book. This is the movie based on a video game adaptation.
Those are always the best films.
I'm going to keep it to live action. I mean, we can, you know, talk about whatever, but the live action ones.
We're not going to talk about the Final Fantasy movie?
We can.
No.
But on the surface, video game movie adaptation seems to follow a similar pattern to the comic book adaptation. It's either a very low budget attempt to cash in on name recognition, like Blood Rain, or
Alone in the Dark.
Or a higher budget attempt at a box office hit with more stylish visuals and A-list casting, like Fassbender in Assassin's Creed. And unlike their comic book cousins, video game adaptations seem to rarely hit big mainstream success and instead tend to thrive in the mid to low budget market like the Resident Evil series, the latest of which, Resident Evil The Final Chapter, made over $300 million on a $40 million budget.
What?
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
That seems to be the zone where video game adaptations thrive. And I'm just going to give you a short list of some video game movies throughout the years. Of course, your 93's Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Then you got your Street Fighter, your Mortal Kombat,
Mortal Kombat,
Wing Commander, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Resident Evil, Doom, Blood Rain, Silent Hill, Max Payne, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Warcraft, Rampage, and most recently, Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Man, none of those are good.
I've seen about one of those.
Yeah. I've seen most of them.
And the questions I have, which may be a little difficult to answer, is why do video game adaptations generally make for worse movies than comic books? Can mid-budget video game adaptations like the Resident Evil series continue to thrive in the changing world of mega-budget franchises? Will we see these game adaptations leave theaters and head mostly to streaming services instead? Are games in America becoming, as they become more mainstream, a more mainstream channel of entertainment over the next few decades, how is that going to affect adaptations? And finally, when will we get our feature-length adaptation of Pong?
That's a good question.
Here's a guess, and I'll probably get slapped down for this by fucking nerds and you looking across the room. I don't think video games think about story in the same way that movies or comic books do.
No, I agree.
Yes. And so I think then it becomes a battle in development between the studio, the video game studio, of wanting them to stay hew closely to the story of the video game, where my guess would be they need to jettison the story of the video game and really loosely adapt it like you would a novel or a comic book.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a comic book can combine elements of many different runs, even different comic books.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if it's a movie based on a video game, you're kind of limited by what you're drawing from. And so you either have to completely invent shit, which is going to piss off the people who want to play that game, which is your built-in audience,
right,
or the video game studio is just not going to let you. So I think it becomes this really, it seems to me like it would be a minefield to walk through. I wouldn't want to adapt one, and I've adapted numerous novels for movies.
Yeah, well, I think you're right, especially just in the core point of games approach story differently,
right,
than movies or comic books or novels. And there's a very simple reason for that. It's just to keep movies and games. Movies are passive, games are active.
Yeah.
A game requires input from the person playing it to make things happen. But you start a movie, you walk away, the movie just keep going. It doesn't care whether you're there,
right,
or not. So the
right.
movie is way more controlled, and in the sense of, you know, the people making it, the storytellers can focus on exactly what they want to do. And in a game, you have to try and account for all the different possible things somebody playing the game might do,
right,
and try and make sure that they still are getting all the information they need to keep playing.
Yeah.
And so it's a, you know, there's a whole, you know, basket of cats involved in trying to just narrow that down. Because the difference is, you know, if you want to make it closer to a movie, you have to make it way more a linear experience.
Right.
And more of, you know, you walk down a corridor and make sure you see everything you're supposed to see.
Right.
And it becomes less of a game.
Right, right.
It's interesting, though. I mean, first of all, to note that most of what Uwe Boll has done is video game adaptation.
Oh, that was, yeah, when the German tax credit thing was happening,
yeah,
in the early 2000s, that was his bread and butter.
And he was, you know, he was mining, like, forgotten games,
well,
because
you
that's
get
what
the
he
cheap.
Could afford.
You get the rights
but, yeah.
so cheap, yeah.
But, like, in general, the list of of movies from low budget to big budget. The Sands of Persia thing with Jake Gyllenhaal as a Middle Eastern guy for some reason. They all have a certain level. Even the ones I like. I like the Resident Evil franchise because it's so nonsensical and dumb and over the top, and the movies are short. And Silent Hill, the first Silent Hill, I thought was amusing. But even the ones I like are kind of incompetently made. And do you think that's purely due to this foundation of adapting this video game that's got a different narrative structure than a regular movie?
No, I mean, I think you put the right team together, you get a really good writer and give them a certain amount of freedom within a construct, within confines. Much like, toy adaptations. There have been some good ones. There have been, the first Transformers film was pretty watchable. Like, there's,
the latest one, the Bumblebees. The Bumblebees. It's the best one.
I haven't seen it. But you can have a very limited IP, a limited sort of scope of what you're going to learn from it. What the material, not very rich in material, and still create something wonderful out of it. So it doesn't mean you can't make a good video game movie. Why they tend to not be good is a mystery. I don't know if they're just not hiring the right people, or they're really keep trying to match the game playing audience to the audience for the movie, which keeps it in this sort of 12 to 25 male bracket.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like different categories at work. I think there is a category, like you had mentioned earlier, where the IP owner, the game companies, want too much input and too much say so in what the script is, how the story unfolds. And I think Microsoft has been pretty vocal about that with Halo. Why the Halo movie has been in turnaround for a decade.
Wasn't
at
it
least.
A Showtime show now?
Maybe. Yeah. I think maybe. And like Blomkamp did some short Halo movies years ago, which is kind of what put him on the map.
Which one's Master Chief? Is that him?
That's Halo.
Yeah, they're doing the Showtime.
Okay, so they're finally getting around to doing a show with that. I think in that respect, it's the game company, wanting too much creative input on the movie side when they really should be, working with whoever the development studio is to find a really good team to adapt.
Well, let me ask you this then. Okay, so I would just guess that if around Grand Theft Auto 3, let's say.
Yeah.
Which we're up to 5, I think.
Yeah, I think 5 is the latest.
PlayStation
2 time is 3.
Let's say they had agreed to make movies out of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
My guess is that they would probably
be very racist
and make massive amounts of money.
Yeah.
And people, I think, love racism.
Rockstar Games probably knows that. And why haven't they done that?
Well, in Rockstar's case, they don't have to because their games make way more money than a movie ever would.
Okay.
We're talking like the Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead franchises, hundreds of millions of dollars.
But that has never stopped a company from finding ancillary.
Yeah,
not leaving money on the table.
But I think in the case of Rockstar, it's the Housers that run the joint. Are also the ones that kind of write the games, and they're very crime movie influenced, storylines and characters and dialogue and very B movie kind of stuff, and I think probably from their perspective is they don't do it because they would want to be heavily involved in it and they just don't have any time.
Gotcha.
Would be my guess, because it's like we don't need it to boost the brand.
No, I know, but you could. But again, it never stops someone. Like, I mean, Disney is doing it left and right. they make a movie and then make a Broadway show of it, and then make an animated show on that movie, and then, you know, they're just squeezing the lemon in 18 different directions.
Yeah.
So it's you know what I mean? It's not like they couldn't hire a good studio, good writer, just oversee it, not be as heavily involved, keep working on the new Grand Theft and the new Red Dead, and roll the dice and maybe have a great franchise come out of it.
I think it just boils down to the fact that it's, you know, for some of these studios and publishers that are at the high end of the game industry, because it makes so much more money than the movie industry at this point.
Yeah.
That they would rather just focus on selling more games.
Okay, so
that's going to make them more money.
Assuming a studio desperate for a franchise, like let's say Paramount.
Yeah.
Has offered Rockstar $100 million for the IP and for them to be heavily involved whenever you think that I'm going to guarantee that has happened. They just turn it down is what you're saying, probably.
I think in their particular case, a Grand Theft, because it's
not worth it.
There's no incentive because they're already making hundreds of millions of dollars just making the damn games. Mm. So, but for something like, you know, like a Resident Evil, and I think this is a case where I think the Resident Evil franchise is a good example of a game adaptation done right in a really fun, like, B-movie, schlocky way, which is kind of the, you know, horror bent of the games to begin with.
Right.
But they're not, like, you know, the Resident Evil movies kind of start off a little hewing a bit more to the game in the game series, and then it kind of grew into its own thing. And I think the success of it, with it being inexpensive initially to make and then the big return, is probably because it's what Paul W.S. Anderson does those. I think that may have been a big enough success that everyone involved said, just keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
Because it works great, and, you know, it's good. It's good advertising for the games, and people seem to like it. It's making money, so we don't feel we have to step in on it. And that kind of let him go off and build his kind of own version of that game IP and that game world.
Right.
So I think that's an example of it, of it's done.
Those movies,
not necessarily good movies, but fun.
They're fun, and they're all 90 minutes long. And they don't make any sense at any point, but they throw a lot of visual stuff at you, so it's fun. So in a weird way, it is like a video game that's gotten out of your control as a viewer. I can't fix anything that's happening. But okay.
My controller batteries have died, but the game is still playing.
I don't know what happened.
I just watched this really long cutscene.
So yeah, so I think that's so what do you think, you know, what do you think is the future of this? Because, you know,
well, I know they're going to reboot Resident Evil. That's all that matters.
And do you think they're going to do like a big money reboot? Because we're looking at, like, I mean, Pokemon had like a $150 million budget, and it's at $430 million right now.
Hmm. Yeah, this has made money.
So,
my kids,
you know,
saw
it. It's not a blowout, but, you know, it's making money.
My kid liked it. He said it was really weird, but he liked it.
Well,
and for something like Warcraft, which bombed in the States but was huge overseas, that was a $160 million movie that made $430 million.
Yeah.
And so I think they're definitely doing another one of those.
Better dubbed in different languages?
No, I think China loved it. I think it was really, really... I think
so
it made most
weird.
Of its money in China.
Because it's a junk. It's a piece of junk.
It's really rough.
It's so boring.
And I like Duncan Jones, but that movie's
rough.
Sure,
but that movie's boring.
Yeah. So, you know, but then, you know, and then you get your, you know, then you get your Blood Rains, which cost $25 million, nothing, but it also made $4 million. So.
House of the Dead.
Yeah.
That was the Uwe Boll's.
The on there,
wasn't that his first one?
I think that might have been his first.
And then Alone in the Dark was his second
one? Right, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think there's a way they can be elevated, that they can still capture the imagination of the core audience and yet broaden out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that game, so I would never in a million years want to go see it. And yet, there's tons of movie book adaptations. I don't know what the fuck that book is, but it looks good.
Yeah.
So I'll go see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it feels like there doesn't have to be this gulf between quality and the end, you know, the IP.
I wonder also if it's just been, you know, up until more recently, it's, you know, game adaptations have also felt like more, you know, for the studios, like, okay, we want to fill a niche for some, you know, low budget, B, you know, almost direct to video that we can get a little theatrical release to hit a small market. That we don't take that seriously yet.
Yeah.
And because, you know, games in the last 10 years have, it's been a meteoric rise in terms of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's now suddenly like, holy shit, now we're getting like $150 million Pokemon movies.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's still, even though there's a lot of money behind it, I think it hasn't really broken out the mainstream like that, video game movies.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of room for growth, and I'm sure something will hit all four quadrants and hit quality and make the gamers happy, and it'll be huge and have a life beyond the IP, like a Game of Thrones.
Well, I would still like to see a really good video game based movie that pisses off the fanboys. You know what I mean? Just to see one that's good, because none of them are.
I'm sure they do, because those fuckers are mad about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too difficult.
If you look through the right boards, they're mad about everyone.
I guess that's what I'm wondering, like, why are they consistently as bad as they are?
Well, yeah, but I think a lot of it has had to do with the fact that the, you know, game industry has been seen as a possible ancillary revenue generator for movies up until very recently, you know, games, you know, weren't selling, you know, hundreds of millions a year, and now they're a dominant entertainment
media. Yeah, although I would argue that they're less, a lot of the money in gaming is based on games that are even less story based than before.
Yes.
And so, you know, like Fortnite or esports in general.
Yeah, but
like,
you know there's going to be a Fortnite movie at some point.
Maybe.
You know they're trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah, I guess. But I'm just saying that that IP is getting even weaker.
I'm not going to make you pitch video game movies for the game.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just in case that flashed in your head.
I don't know shit about video games. I would just leave.
Because one of the other things that is a potential avenue for them to move into also is streaming, because there's the Henry Cavill's The Witcher series is a streaming series that's coming out that's based on the huge game.
It's got Cavill?
Yeah, Cavill's the
main. I mean, Cavill, I'll watch anything with that guy.
you're a Henry Cavill completionist.
I gotta see it. If he's in it, I gotta see it. Him and Dominic Purcell.
So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see kind of how things develop, because it's at one point games were just that's cute, maybe we can make some money on it, and now it's, oh shit, Pokemon makes what? How much?
Yeah,
we got to get on.
Yeah,
somehow.
Pokemon will probably.
And at some point, there's going to be the right property is going to come around with the right creator.
But they did spend big money on Prince of Persia and Assassin's Creed, right?
Clearly, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying they spent a lot of money on those movies.
No, that's they're taking chances on that. Yeah. So we'll see in the future what that's like. So thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Anyone seen anyone gonna see Ready or Not?
Yo, I'm gonna see the shit out of that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Huh?
I got to see that this weekend and the Gerard Butler thing
and Good Boys.
And I got to see Good Boys, and I want to see that peanut butter movie.
Oh yeah.
That looks sweet.
But before all that, we have to go to court.
Oh, shit. What a drag.
You guys, it's time for movie jail.
Oh, God.
And it's very serious, because this is where we put a cinematic professional on trial for crimes against movies. And if they're found guilty, they can be sentenced to time, hard time, in the Robert De Niro Maximum Security Federal Penitentiary. It's got many, many wings for many different kinds of punishments, light and harsh. And a bailiff, if you could
bring... Oye, oye, if it pleases the court...
It does.
The court is in the figure of our judge, Stephen Skelton, is entering. He has remnants of chow mein on his face.
I don't know why you always do this to me.
And he's reeking of four roses, trying to be covered by Listerine and Altoids. Please have a
he's
seat.
He's like Dean Stockwell in The Rainmaker.
Please have a seat. And our prosecuting attorney, Mr. Todd Robert Anderson, approach the bench.
Your Honor, bailiff guy, thanks for seeing me today. I don't know what you're supposed to say.
You're not a very good lawyer, are you?
But I am going to put the facts on trial.
Okay.
So get out of my way, yeah. Your Honor. Your Honor, today we are putting the entity known as Universal Studios on trial.
The whole studio?
The whole damn studio on trial for being a bunch of spineless turds. A movie called The Hunt was set to be released this September, only a week or so after Sly Stallone's new Rambo picture is coming out, and it has been pulled from release indefinitely. The reason cited by Universal initially is because their marketing campaign was insensitive in the wake of the recent mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton. But what appears to be the real reason they pulled it from release entirely, and not just toning down the marketing campaign, is because they bowed to pressure from Fox News and President Donald, there isn't a racist bone in my body, Trump's condemnation of the subject matter, which they took as a fantasy for liberals who want to see MAGA hat wearers get hunted and shot to death. Back in the 90s, if you remember, you guys remember the 90s.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, of course you do, Your Honor. And bailiff guy, we had not one, but two takes on the classic The Most Dangerous Game, in which homeless people were coerced into becoming the objects of hunts. If you remember Hard Target and Surviving the Game.
With Ice-T.
Hard Target.
And F. Murray Abraham.
Yes, and Hard Target had Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And the guy
Who's
with the oatmeal. Lance
Brimley.
Henriksen. Yeah, Brimley was the guy with the oatmeal who helped. He was his old friend.
No, he was a good guy. But Henriksen was the bad guy. Yeah. I'm going to allow that.
Were these movies cruelty towards homeless people?
Yes.
Should we have been outraged then?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I disagree, Your Honor, because these are dumb action fantasies, and the hunters themselves were painted as monsters. The directors and writers of The Hunt have stated that the movie wasn't leaning one way or the other politically and was meant to jab at both sides of the aisle from within a darkly violent satire. In it, the rich liberals who pay to hunt, quote, deplorables are the assholes, or at least the bigger assholes in the narrative. Fox News suggested that the movie will incite violence, all while refusing to admit that the president himself is the one inciting much of the mass shooting violence we have seen in this country since he took office. Remember when the country thought Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing would incite race riots? Yeah, well, it didn't. That was just the fear of racists that generated that ridiculous rumor. It's a given at this point that Rambo Last Blood has wildly violent trailers, and neither its marketing nor release has been delayed in the least despite the mass shootings. Perhaps that is because Lionsgate isn't sensitive like Universal is pretending to be, but give me a break. It's pretty clear that the initial excuse by Universal for pulling the film is absolute hogwash. It is apparently okay to release a movie about a man cutting Mexicans in half with assault weapons. It's totally cool to do that, but God forbid you show a neo-Nazi getting killed on American soil. Why are Republicans such snowflakes? Bowing to Fox News is bad, but bowing to the president, you know, part of the government is clear censorship and should be considered a violation of the First Amendment. And I'll tell you what, this is my kind of movie, and I want to see it, and this is total bullshit. Your Honor? I call for Universal Studios to be surrounded by at least five rows deep of Antifa protesters, making it impossible for any tourist to get into the park, inside the studio, and ride the new Jurassic World ride, which, let's be honest, isn't new at all, but a refurbished version of that old Jurassic Park ride, which was kind of stupid.
Meet on Lancashire, Antifa.
Antifa. Well,
I
yeah,
rest
no,
my case.
It's a good thing that we're the leaders of Antifa, so
we can set this up.
So
in
we
a,
can easily set this
GIF.
Up. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree that the excuse is lame. It's nonsense. whether they're serious about it or not, or just using it as a convenient excuse to bury a movie they don't think is gonna make any money, could go either way, because we're talking about a big studio, so you know they're.
Well, they could just sell it to Netflix.
Yeah.
Then I.
So what they could, I mean, they did the same thing with the Franco Rogan.
The interview.
The interview. And that eventually they put
that out. Well,
that
was Sony, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but no, but it's same big studio. There was a similar, you know, like, we don't want to upset terrible people, so we'll, yeah, no, it's not.
Well, let Betty Gilpin shoot people.
Yeah,
is what I
no,
said.
I, it's yeah, it's hell it's yeah. Nonsense. It is alarming precedent for a large corporation to set. To capitulate to the ramblings and crazy proclamations of a government official of any kind. So just on that principle alone, they're guilty. So yeah, I think instead of Antifa surrounding them, we should just get multiple copies of that movie and just have them projected everywhere in Universal Studios, and all over Universal Studios, Hollywood, and on every ride.
Like, instead of whatever the dinosaur on the screens is at the new Jurassic Park ride, it's that movie. And the boat just stops and you have to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, no, the T-Rex on the Jurassic Park ride, when he comes out, he goes, see the new movie with Betty Elton. They don't want you to see it. Here it is.
Nice.
All right, that's
fair. Project it everywhere, and that's that.
Margarita's on the bailiff.
Oh, nice. That's cool of you.
Yeah, man.
Can I get a skinny marg, or
you can get a skinny
do I
marg.
Have to get the house marg?
I just gotta make fun of you, though, if you do that.
Why?
Yeah, skinny marg.
Well, just
skinny's like tequila and lime. It's more bad. What?
Wait. What is that?
I don't know. Why would you make fun of somebody for getting a skinny marg?
Well, because I mean, my main.
Whoa. Did you hear that?
I hear something. I don't know why you got. What?
Every time, Jesus Christ,
Nick Cage.
And that means it's time for the Nick Cage Memorial Bazaar line reading. And that's where every episode, one of the pigs presents a line from a movie said by an actor that may or may not be Nick Cage, but it's in the spirit of Nick Cage at his craziest and his most delightful. And Stephen Falk, what do you have for us?
Well, I will just say two things. Forget the McConaissance. Forget the Keanu-sance.
I don't even know how to pronounce it.
The McConaissance is well over,
by the way. It's time for the Nick Cage-a-sance, you guys.
Nick Cage-a-sance.
After a triumphant, insane interview from New York Times Magazine a couple weeks back, and Nick Cage is poised for a comeback. Also, what came out recently, a little seen movie from the 80s called Never on a Tuesday, a viral clip. Appeared on the internet, featuring Peter Berg and some dude and some lady. It's a really
Claudia
low
Christian.
Budget movie.
Claudia Christian
from The Hidden and Babylon 5.
I've met her. She's very nice. She makes a lot of money in voiceovers.
It's a little movie about.
Oh really?
Yeah, she's doing great.
About a woman. Shut up. About a woman who's stuck on the side of the road and two guys trying to make time with her, and then just random. Celebrity cameos drive up and have tiny little scenes and drive away. Real bad movie, but somehow they got Nick Cage, among others, to do a little bit. So these are the guys talking to the girl. Nick Cage drives up in a red, like, Ferrari, and he has a giant prosthetic nose.
Yeah.
And a bowl cut.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly silly, and he speaks in a voice, well, you will hear in a minute.
Yeah.
And you know, they're both kind of fat. Not really fat. It's more of a substance compared to a mass divided by hair. It's kind of hard to understand.
Here comes the car driving down the road.
It went like this. See, your intake of food is different than your outcome.
How you doing?
Is anybody hurt?
No, everybody's fine.
I guess somebody left. Oh, man, that's all right. Got everything under control.
I felt like when I saw that the first, second, third, and dozenth time I watched it, that I felt like he was doing an Emo Phillips impersonation.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
I love the Seinfeld slap bass music.
I gotta get a beer, because that, I gotta have all a right. beer.
Well, thank you. Anything? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's Nick Cage once again. Nick Cage.
Cage Assance!
Hey, yeah, will you grab me a Amstel Light? It's on one of the shelves. Or in the door. I think it's in the door, actually.
Yeah.
Lump.
Uh-oh.
What?
You guys hear that music?
What?
I don't hear shit.
Well, there's music playing. And you know what that means? It means it's time to play a game.
No!
Yes. Yay!
That's right. It's time to play Three Lives, the game sensation that's sweeping the nation. In Three Lives, players take turns being given the synopsis and stars to a video game movie and must supply the movie's title. If the player answers correctly, they receive 2 points. If not, they may use one of their three lives to try and answer again or receive a brand new clue to answer. However, any lives left over after the end of 10 rounds will give the player bonus points to add to their final score. If you have one life left at the end, you get a bonus 1 point. If you have two lives left, you get 3 bonus points. If you have all 3 of your lives left at the end of 10 rounds, you get 6 bonus points added to your score.
Wait, so okay, so tell me again the scoring?
The scoring is each question, movie title is worth 2 points each.
2 points.
10 each.
And if you get it wrong and you want to use a life,
then you can either guess again if you the title but you know it, or you can ask for a new clue, a different.
Oh, you have a second clue.
Yeah, there'll be
a whole other movie.
A whole different movie.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And you still get 2 points, though.
You would still get 2 points if you answer correctly. Yes.
But you have wasted potentially three or
if you. If you don't get,
I didn't quite crunch the numbers on whether this is fair or not.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
If you don't get it right and you don't want to use a life,
you can just not take any points.
You just not take any points. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna
You never lose points.
I'm gonna wait outside.
So you just want 6 points.
I just want 6 points. It's like signing your name on the SAT.
Or entering a poker tournament and not showing up and just hoping you don't get blinded off for money bubble reasons.
So, yeah, so, and in the case of a tie, I do have a tiebreaker. That'll just be first person who yells it out wins. Give me a second here. Let me go. Okay, so who wants to go first?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know any of these.
All right.
I've seen one of these movies.
All right, so we'll round one. I'm going to pull out randomly from the pile.
How many rounds are there?
10. It's a 10 total round, so each of you gets 10.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
I'll also give you the year.
Oh, that'll make no difference.
So this is 1999. Here's the synopsis. Blair, a fighter pilot, joins an interstellar war to fight the evil Kilrathi who are trying to destroy the universe. Stars. Freddie Prinze Jr., Matthew Lillard, Saffron Burroughs. What is the title? Title of the movie. Title of the movie.
Is there any stealing in this game?
No, there's no stealing.
I can see the key art.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Read it one more time again?
It is 1999. Blair, a fighter pilot, joins an interstellar war to fight the evil Kilrathi who are trying to destroy the universe. Starring Freddie Prinze Jr., Matthew Lillard, and Saffron Burroughs.
Saffron Burroughs was excellent in Deep Blue Sea.
This is not the movie. That is not the movie.
She smartly avoided electrocution by standing on her wetsuit.
This is a video game adaptation from 1999.
Oh, man. I want to say Sky something. Sky Rangers.
Sky Rangers
is incorrect. It is Wing Commander.
Shit.
Wing Commander. Sky Rangers was a good guess, though. That's a good guess.
We watched Wing Commander together.
We did.
It was terrible.
All right, Todd.
Yeah.
Your movie?
Mm-hmm.
2015. Hmm. Now, the titles have to be accurate, of course,
shit,
as always.
Fucker.
So remember, some of these movies have title, subtitle stuff.
2015?
An assassin teams up with a woman to help her find her father and uncover the mysteries of her ancestry. Stars Rupert Friend, Hannah Ware, Zachary Quinto.
2015. Say the thing again.
An assassin teams up with a woman to help her find her father and uncover the mysteries of her ancestry. Rupert Friend, Hannah Ware, Zachary Quinto.
Hitman Agent 47.
Hitman Agent 47 is correct.
Holy!
That's 2 points.
Testicle Tuesday.
Wow, nice job.
I've seen this movie. I did not recognize the plot.
And that was round one. Round two. Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
Your movie. 2003. Adventurer Laura Croft goes on a quest to save the mythical Pandora's box before an evil scientist finds it and recruits a former Marine turned mercenary to assist her. Stars Angelina Jolie, Gerard Butler, and Chris Berry. Correct title is required.
I'm just going to say Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider is part of the title.
Yeah.
The full title is Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, which is a terrible title.
Is that the
title.
First one or the second one?
It was her second one.
What was the first one called?
It may or may not be in here, so let's, you know.
What's the name of a bunch of...
What's the name of your video game movies again before the next one, Todd?
Yeah.
2005.
It's going way back.
Space Marines are sent to investigate strange events at a research facility on Mars, but find themselves at the mercy of genetically enhanced killing machines. It stars Carl Urban, Rosamund Pike. Doom is correct.
Space Marines.
Those are the toughest Marines.
Yeah.
Round three.
Five.
Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
2003.
Okay.
A group of college students travel to a mysterious island to attend a rave, which is soon taken over by bloodthirsty zombies. It stars Jonathan Cherry, Tyrone Lightso, and Clint Howard.
And
you guys have lives too.
There's a bigger name in that movie that you left off. That
I went with what IMDb was listing in their blurbs first.
But it's also got Jürgen Prochnow, or however you say his name, the guy from Das Boot.
Yeah, I don't Das Boot. I'm not gonna know.
It's House of the Dead. House of the Dead.
Uwe Boll.
That was
Uwe
his first
Boll
one, wasn't it?
Joint. Yes, I believe so. Yes.
2005. In the 18th century, a vampire escapes from the freak show in which she once participated and teams up with a group of vampire slayers to kill the man who raped her mother. It stars Christina Loken, Ben Kingsley, and Michelle Rodriguez.
That would be Blood Rain.
That is Blood Rain.
I worked with Christina Loken.
It's a really offensive...
Can I make a prediction?
She was delightful.
Yes.
This is going... the final. I'm going to guess final score. 16-6.
Yeah, this is not fair.
Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
1995.
Yeah.
Three unknowing martial artists are summoned to a mysterious island to compete in a tournament whose outcome will decide the fate of the world. It stars Christopher Lambert, Robin Shou, and Lyndon Ashby. Everyone loves Lyndon Ashby.
I've always been an Ashby completionist. He's great.
Three Ninjas.
It is not Three Ninjas. That's not even a video game.
I don't know.
Mortal Kombat!
It's Mortal Mortal Kombat. This is the first Mortal Kombat. Thank you, Todd.
All right. I've seen both of those movies so many times.
Of course you have.
Todd, 1994.
Oh, God.
Colonel Guile and various other martial arts heroes fight against the tyranny of Dictator M. Bison and his cohorts. It stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, Raoul Julia, and Ming-Na Wen.
Street Fighter.
It is Street Fighter.
It was Raoul Julia's final performance. What a way to go out.
Well, no, he did that. He said he did that for his kids.
Mm-hmm. He's very fun in it. It's just not a good movie.
No, it's not.
He's akin to Andy Garcia and 8 Million Ways to Die. So like a bad movie, but there's a great bad guy in it.
Stephen Falk. Mm. 1997. Mm. A group of martial arts warriors have only 6 days to save the Earth from an extra-dimensional invasion. And the only name in here that is even recognizable is James Remar.
Mortal Kombat 2.
So close.
It's close, but it's Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Is that two?
I think it's the second one, yeah.
Yes, it is the second one. And there is no third one, but there is a web series. And there was a short-lived, a syndicated TV show.
You know, no, that's too much. You should not
too
know
many
that.
Facts.
Don't know that.
Don't know that, Todd.
All right. My son and I enjoy watching the TV show together.
2006.
Wow.
A woman, Rose, goes in search of her adopted daughter within the confines of a strange, desolate town. Stars Radha Mitchell, Laurie Holden, and Sean Bean.
That's Silent Hill.
It is Silent Hill, and I'm assuming Sean Bean dies in that.
Nope.
Really?
Incorrect.
The most interesting part of this...
He's the only one who doesn't.
Most interesting part of this game is that Todd is low-level baffled by every year. 1997. Oh. 2005.
Todd's getting more of these than I
2016.
Would have. 2016.
Oh.
You know,
I suck at chronology.
You're getting more of these. You're getting more of these than I would have. Because
really,
All right. Falk, 2001. Video game adventurer Lara Croft comes to life in a movie where she races against time and villains to recover powerful ancient artifacts. Stars Angelina Jolie, John Voight, and Ian Glenn.
Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Lara Croft Tomb Raider is
correct.
On the board.
I said all the words.
You did.
In order.
Okay.
So sad that they'll never be a third one of their series of it because they don't talk.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. But he wasn't in the second one. Voight wasn't in the second one.
Yeah. Well, if Voight shows up in another one, it'd be like, Tomb Raider, Trump's great.
Did you see the new one?
No, Vikander.
Yeah,
I did see that one.
It was kind of fun.
It was it was pretty good. I didn't mind it. Todd.
Yeah.
2008, coming together to solve a series of murders in New York City are a police detective whose family was slain as part of a conspiracy and an assassin out to avenge her sister's death. The duo will be hunted by the police, the mob, and a ruthless corporation. Stars: Mark Wahlberg, Mila Kunis, Beau Bridges.
Oh, shit. God.
Oh, shit.
Damn
God
it.
Damn it is not the title.
No, hang on. Give me a sec.
2008.
Max Hardcore. No.
See, but you can't just start yelling things out and then until you get the right one.
Oh,
you just
okay.
said a title. Max. Which was close.
No, he can answer. He's just working it through.
Max.
I think I know this one, actually.
Yeah. Shit. Max.
2008.
Yeah, the year is not important. It's just I can't.
It was 2008.
I know. I know. I can picture the movie. I can picture Marky Mark in this Sin City wannabe looking thing, and it's shit.
2008.
Max.
You could use a life if you wanted to.
And what do I get for the life?
You get another guess, or you could get a different movie.
No, yeah. I give up.
Yeah. All right. Max Payne.
Shit.
P-A-Y.
I couldn't get Hardcore Henry out of my head.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't get to the Payne.
I hear you.
Max Payne.
Good name for a video
game. Max Payne. Oh, I'm going to drop these. All right. Steven Falk, 2016.
Ah.
that's his year.
Alice returns to where the nightmare began, the Hive in Raccoon City, where the Umbrella Corporation is gathering its forces for a final strike against the only remaining survivors of the apocalypse. It stars Milla Jovovich, Ian Glenn, and Ali Larder.
Resident Evil 6. Arma fucking.
It is. Close. It is not Arma fucking. It is the final chapter. Resident Evil, the final chapter.
The thing about, if I get one of those movies, I won't get it right. Because I don't know the chronology.
You know, you can't remember.
You only know, like, Leprechaun or.
Well, I could actually probably name all the Resident Evil
but
movies
not the order.
In order. I could do it in order, but I don't recognize the plot.
No, you don't.
And it's got all the same.
Well, the year would be a hint, though.
It would be. You're right. But I, again,
they all blend together. Todd, 2007. No, I'm going to change this one.
Why?
It would become clear. All right. 2010. A young fugitive prince and princess must stop a villain who unknowingly threatens to destroy the world with a special dagger that enables the magic sand inside to reverse time. Jake Gyllenhaal, Gemma Arterton, Ben Kingsley.
That's
full title.
Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
That is correct. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know my shit movies. I mean,
you really do.
In a weird way, this is one of my genres.
This is your genre.
It's garbage.
Low level horror, low budget horror is only.
But even like, you know, I mean, these are like, I mean, I don't.
Like 80s.
I don't
understand. Actually, all bad movies.
I don't understand how he's getting so many of these because I would not have gotten this many.
Have you seen Todd's house?
I stand corrected. Fall 2016. Callum Lynch explores.
So it's 2016.
Callum Lynch explores the memories of his ancestor Aguilar de Nehera, and gains the skills of a master assassin before taking on the secret Templar society. It stars Michael Fassbender, Marion Cotillard, and Jeremy Irons. I mentioned it earlier in the podcast.
No, I know. And he has a cloak.
He does have a clone.
He dives from tall buildings. He did. I played it. I played one of them.
2016.
Yeah. It's not Fallout.
No, it's... No.
That's a different game. It's not Assassin. Oh, Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed is correct.
I like that game.
I did not like that movie.
I abandoned it like all games.
It was good.
I like jumping down into hay
barrels. It's a pretty good series, too.
You'd be hella quiet.
They do. There's one of the sequels.
if you jump off towers all Greg Louganis style and you land in like a hay wagon, you can still be quiet.
Well, I love that Falk looks for places to hide in video games. Be quiet.
Oh, man.
No, but that's actually what you're supposed to do.
And then you can come up and slit someone's throat.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta be quiet.
One of the sequels is Pirates.
Pirates.
Todd.
Yeah.
1994. Two brothers have half of a powerful ancient Chinese talisman. An evil gang leader has the other half and determines to get the brothers' half and have a complete medallion so he can gain absolute power. It stars Robert Patrick, Mark Dacascos, and Scott Wolfe.
Whoa.
1994.
Read the plot again?
Two brothers have half of a powerful ancient Chinese talisman. An evil gang leader has the other half and determines to get the brothers... This is not written well. And determines to get the brothers' half and have a complete medallion so he can gain absolute power. It's clear as...
It's got Robert...
Robert
Patrick?
Patrick and Scott Wolfe.
And Scott Wolfe.
1994.
As brothers?
Super Mario Brothers. I have no idea.
No, it is Double Dragon.
Oh, I never heard of that shit.
Double Dragon. It's an old arcade game.
Not in my on my.
Todd will be watching that tonight.
I will go home. I hope it's streaming.
Okay. Falk.
Yeah.
2018.
Ah. It's even more sooner.
The best part about this game is Falk's reactions to years. Ah!
2018.
I learned it from watching you.
Laura Croft, the fiercely independent daughter of a missing adventurer, must push herself beyond her limits when she discovers the island where her father disappeared. Alicia Vikander, Dominic West, Walton Goggins.
One must always push one beyond one's limits.
2018.
Push oneself. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm just going to say this one's called Tomb Raider.
Correct. It is just Tomb Raider. Fucking nice. Clean reboot.
I would have been searching for the subtitle. I was wondering what it was.
All right. Todd?
Yeah.
What do we got here? 2018.
Oh!
When three different animals become infected with a dangerous pathogen,
Pigs
a primatologist...
Rampage.
Rampage is correct.
I just played that game. Man, it's fun. I like eating people.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Play that Jaws game.
Never played
that.
Where
you get to be Jaws.
Oh, that sounds weird. I played
down to our final three rounds.
The what?
Final three rounds.
Oh.
Fall 2007.
Mm.
A gun for hire known only as Agent 47, hired by a group known only as the organization.
Hitman.
Hitman is correct.
Boom.
It's the Timothy Olyphant Hitman.
I remember that one.
Two for.
I like Olyphant.
Wow, I've gotten four. I'm surprised.
Good job.
No, you got eight.
No, I know. Four questions. Correct.
Todd.
Yeah.
2016.
Uh-huh.
As an orc horde invades the planet Azeroth using a magic portal, a few human heroes and dissenting orcs must attempt to stop the true evil of Warcraft. Yes.
That's Duncan Jones movie?
Yeah.
I saw it in the theater, and then I watched it again on streaming.
It's like when I taste something, and then I have to taste it again to make sure it's really gross.
Well, I was so bored in the movie theater that I literally fell asleep.
Oh, shit, wait, none of you guys used your lives, right?
No, I'm not.
Oh, wait, sorry, that was the last round.
Oh, that was it?
Well, yeah, because I have six left.
It seemed like a lot.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, you had backups for each of them.
Yeah. Well, tell us what the remaining ones. Ask me the remaining ones and we'll see which ones I get.
Okay, well, hold on.
I find out the points.
Just keep going?
Well, no. I mean, if we're close.
Well, no, we're done. We got through all 10 rounds. That's what I got to add.
You
up
did.
But you both also get six
you
points.
You did because of your reactions to years were more positive than mine.
Yours were like, ugh.
Ugh. And yours were, like, oh. I just want to know if I'd get any of the other ones.
That's I bet you got 14, and I got... You got 14, and I got... Wait, hold
no,
on.
No, you got 14.
I got 14.
And he
all
got
right.
22, so wow. Todd wins with 22.
Good job, Todd.
Thanks, everybody.
The remaining movies...
Let's see if we can guess them.
Yeah, give me... We'll do it together.
2002, a special military unit fights a powerful, out-of-control supercomputer and hundreds of scientists who have mutated into flesh-eating creatures after a laboratory accident... Stars Mila Jovovich, Michelle Rodriguez.
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. 2007, a man named Farmer sets out to rescue his kidnapped wife and avenge the death of his son, two acts committed by the Krugs, a race of animal warriors who are controlled by the evil Galleon. Stars Jason Statham, Ron Perlman, and Ray Liotta.
Shit, no, don't do it. In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale.
Jesus Christ, how did you know that? That's ridiculous.
Well, you get all the points for that one.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Wow, that's amazing.
20 points. I put that one in specifically because I knew no one could get it.
Wow.
God damn it. Wow. 2014, fresh from prison, a street racer who was framed by a wealthy business associate joins a cross-country race with a revenge.
Need for Speed.
Oh, I almost got that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No.
Aaron Paul.
Don't.
2020, this is the only one that I had in here that is coming out soon.
Yeah.
A cop in the rural town of Green Hills a cop in the rural town of Green Hills will help Sonic escape from the government who is
Sonic
looking
the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, of course.
And 2019, in a world where the people collect Pokemon to do battle, a boy
Detective
comes
Pikachu.
Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Starring Chris Gere.
Yes, Chris Gere's in that program.
And the last one, 2005, a detective of the paranormal slowly unravels the mysterious events with deadly results. Terrible, terrible synopsis. It stars Christian Slater, Tara Reid, and Stephen Dorff.
Alone in the Dark.
It is nice. Alone in the Dark, you guys.
Well done.
There we go.
Fun.
I can't believe I couldn't pull Max Payne. Kids, I'm never going to get over that.
Those cranky kids means it's time for the bottom five. And my bottom five are the worst video game adaptations. And they are, it's a list of five. It's a sandwich that's stuffed with three slices of Uwe Boll. So we've got Wing Commander, Alone in the Dark, Blood Rain, In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale, and, of course, Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, my God.
Leguizamo and Hoskins together again.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's have a little moment of positivity, you guys.
Please.
With video game adaptations, because this is it for me. I always enjoy watching a Resident Evil movie, mm-hmm. because even though I never remember if I've ever seen it before, I have. I've seen all of them multiple times. But it's because they come the closest to feeling like you're high and watching someone else play a video game.
Yeah. Huh?
And that's the show, you guys.
This is a great show.
Thank you for listening, everybody. I'd like to thank my fellow film pigs and Antifa leaders, Todd Robert Anderson.
Thanks, everybody. Subscribe to the Blursh channel on YouTube.
And join Antifa. And Stephen Fault.
Yeah, we'll be meeting up in Portland next week to go up against the Proud Boys again. I will be outside of Dinosaur Coffee. I'll be wearing all black. And carrying a mace and a copy of Rage Against the Machine's debut eponymous album. Please find me.
It's so hard being Antifa because, you know, there's good people on both sides.
Yeah. Oh, and a big thanks to Adam Blau, as always, for the music.
Thank you, Adam.
Adam Blau.
Oh, Adam, you should also join Antifa.
Yeah, join it right away. It's a gang.
It's a highly organized gang.
Just go to our website, www.antifa.org. Pay your dues and you're in.
Boy.
Wow, can we make money doing that if we set up a website where people can just give the...
Selling Antifa merch?
No.
Bye, guys.
No, just join Antifa for money.